So I noticed you already said you one-on-one versus MJ, you all day, right?
Me all one-on-one?
One-on-one.
Never lost.
Okay, what about you on one-on-one
LeBron?
LeBron
one-on-one, he too weak.
He too weak?
Back in my heyday, can't nobody hold me. 270? Okay. Benching 500? Now all I got to do is bag you in, I'll lift all of them up off their feet.
Yeah, NBA Straya, how you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Straya. It is Wednesday, July 18. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm here hanging out in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball, even in the NBA offseason. That's what we do, just while repping Straya a little bit. Woo! What a day. We've got a massive show today because we have a Kawhi Leonard trade to talk about, to break down. We also have a Jabari Parker signing. We've got a couple of smaller trades. We've got LeVar Ball talking smack. We've got some front office intrigue. And there's a whole mess of other stuff that we'll cover in the usual dumbassery of, yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse, where you get your flame-grilled takes. Plus, we wrap up Summer League, including the performances of all the Aussies at Summer League in the Australian Player Watch Summer League Edition. We're also going to finish up with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter, and it's going to be amazing. All right, it's episode 149. It's NBA Australia. Let's go!
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dally Vadova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. Well, at least you better watch out for the Kawhi attack. Because, well, this trade is amazing. So let's get stuck into what we usually do here on NBA Straya each week now, considering that we're going weekly for this next couple of, bunch of weeks. It is the weekly whip around, where we whip around the NBA, recap all the bunch of proceedings that's happening. And of course, let's get right into it. Right into Kawhi to Toronto. That's right. Brian Windhorst was talking about this on the Zach Lowe podcast just the other day. He's like, hey, man, I'm pretty sure that Toronto was like the front man for like these things. And you're like, all right, man, that's great. You're talking spud. Let's see how it goes. And then boom, happens like the next day. That's pretty amazing. So it's Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green are traded to Toronto for
DeRozan there,
Jakob Poeltl, and a protected 2019 first round pick, which is protected 1 through 20. And can I just say, woo, finally happened. That's awesome. It's about bloody time. This whole Kawhi thing was just dragging and dragging and dragging. It's like, when's it going to happen, bro? It's going to happen soon, doesn't it? I mean, come on, mate. Just make sure it happens already. Jesus pop. Stop dragging your bloody feet, mate. And away we go. Here we go. It's done. The best part is Kawhi got deported, literally. He wanted to go to LA, you know, where it's nice and warm and rad. A lot of fun stuff goes on in LA. Instead, Kawhi gets sent to a completely different country with weird money and where it snows all the time. You know what's the opposite of fucking LA? Toronto. Holy crap. Amazing. So this is Pop and IC Buford pretty clearly saying, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Incredible. And so for Kawhi, he gets traded to Toronto and he can still sign his big extension in Toronto, which would be 5 years, $190 million. That's fine. If he leaves Toronto and signs as a free agent somewhere else, the best he can get is a 4 year, $141 million deal with a team with cap space. That's fine. He does completely miss out on the 5 years, $221 million extension with the 10 year designated vet max with the Spurs. So no matter which way you cut it, Kawhi has just kind of cost himself $30 million by being a shithead. Amazing. And look, so he gets to go to Toronto. Toronto get away from DeMar DeRozan there and his big old contract and get a better version of Kawhi. Of course, they burn a bunch of goodwill while they're at it because DeMar DeRozan there is the Raptors franchise leader in games, points, minutes, field goal attempts and made, free throw attempts and made, as well as turnovers. And the toughest part for Toronto is, apparently ESPN's Chris Hayes was told that DeRozan met with Toronto officials in Vegas last week during Summer League and was told that he wouldn't be traded. And then they turn around and go, real sorry, bro, but you're traded, eh? And they're like, oh, shit. So everyone around the league is like, oh, man, snake, dogged him. Oh, fucking dogged him, mate. What are you doing? No, you can't dog him like that. And that's what happened. So the toughest part for Toronto, though, is that Kawhi has made no indication that he's actually pretty keen on playing in Toronto or for the Raptors. And everyone's kind of like, so did we do the right thing? So he's had no physical yet. He has 48 hours to report and have it sorted out. The reps, though, can obviously just waive it if they so wish and just to have his contract on the books, even if he doesn't rock up. Because sources told Chris Haynes, again, he has no intention on playing for Toronto. And no interest in playing in Toronto, rather. Which is crazy. So, what did Toronto do? I mean, what you do, right, is just lean on Drake. Just send Drake in there. Just go, Drake, I'm going to need you to hang out with Kawhi like for the entire next fucking, like, entire season. Just hang out with him and his stupid fucking uncle. What do you reckon? Let's do that. And Drake will be like, all right, man, I'm going to write some bars. I'm going to sing it at him. We'll get to hang out. I'll show him that Toronto is probably the coolest city ever. And everyone's like, oh, man. Toronto is the Drake of cities. That's how it goes. So Kawhi Leonard goes to Toronto. Does this make them a bit of a contender in the East? I mean, if he reports and wants to play for them, perhaps. Because he really is just a much better version of DeMar, who can actually stroke threes and play way fucking better defense. So they got the best player in the deal, and that's what you always want out of a trade, right? At the same time, if he no-shows, Toronto kind of win this anyway because they just keep their pick regardless. They didn't give up OG Anunoby or Pascal Siakam or any of their other young dudes apart from Jakob Poeltl. So if he doesn't show up, they suck. They get to shrug and move on and maybe start their rebuild by trading Kyle Lowry, right? It's kind of cool. All in all, I kind of feel like Toronto made out a little bit like bandits here. Like, I can't believe there wasn't a better deal out there for San Antonio. Like, Sixers, man, they got to be like kicking themselves going, wait. So for DeMar, we didn't trade Markel Fultz? Fuck. We couldn't give him the Fultz and Saric and like a protected first? God damn it. This is what happens, Sixers, when you don't have a fucking GM, you idiots. Unbelievable. And on the Spurs side, so yeah, I don't think they got a great deal. The worst part for the Spurs is that they got the LaMarcus Aldridge of shooting guards while they have the DeMar DeRozan of power forwards at the same time. So I'm pretty sure everybody can forget about the Spurs being interesting or fun for roughly, what, the next 10 years, 15 years? It's a tough one, man. It's a tough one. So I don't know, man. What do you reckon? It's tough. It's kind of weird. The Spurs, they bring in what? DeMar DeRozan to provide more mid-range shooting? I mean, you've kind of already got a bunch of that, my dudes. You don't need that much more. Just saying. I mean, Pop and RC might have been just like, all right, man, this is the best player we can get. And that seems pretty weird. So I don't know. Let us know what you think about this. The Kawhi to Toronto. Danny Green. Shit, he might be a better player than DeMar DeRozan sometimes. I'll tell you that much. It's weird. So the fact that San Antonio seem to be going, yep, this was the best deal. Sweet, let's pull the trigger. It's pretty odd. The Lakers. I mean, you can't just like throw Ingram at them. What do you reckon? Hart? Josh Hart just won Summer League MVP. Let's ship him off. Hart and Kuzma. Take that. What do you reckon? it's tough, man. Anyway, so Kawhi Leonard. This is going to be hilarious to see how this is all washing out in the next couple of days and whether or not the actual physical happens and takes place, how well he does, how good Toronto feel about this, if it actually goes through completely and doesn't get like walked back due to like, you know, weird physical stuff. So he was actually reported to wanting to go play in the Team USA minicamp to prove that he was actually healthy. So if he is actually healthy, he should be fine with the physical and Toronto is sitting there taking the chance. So good on yous. I mean, sure. Best of luck. Anyway, winner of this, Toronto. Losers, Spurs. Anytime you lose, the better player in the deal. Not great. We also had another trade this week. That was Sacramento and Memphis. Oh, yeah. Did you miss this one? The buyer's remorse trade. Memphis sent Ben McLemore and Deontay Davis to Sacramento for Garrett Temple and dollars. Love this from Memphis. They get another actual NBA wing who can play around Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, and their new dudes in Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson. And basically, It's also Memphis taking Ben McLemore to the returns desk and asking for their money back. The buyer's remorse trade. I love it. Memphis gave Ben McLemore a bunch of money last year and they're like, oh, this guy's not good. The weirdest part is Sacramento like, yeah, we'll have him back and we'll send you Garrett Temple. What the fuck? That makes no sense. I don't know, man. But Memphis, they win that one and smash it. Crushed it. In other signings, other news, Jabari Parker goes to Chicago for 2 years, $40 million. Goes home down the road from Milwaukee, where he went to high school. Interesting fit. I mean, sure, it's more talent for the Bulls, but do you really believe this? Well, it all depends on whether or not you can believe that he can play the three next to Lowry. That's a girl's name, Markkanen, and Wendell Carter. And I mean, who plays defense on this goddamn team? Like Chris Dunn, sure. Zach LaVine, nope. Jabari Parker, nope. Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, nope. Wendell Carter Jr. did display a little bit at Summer League, but it was Summer League. He's playing against like kids. The rest of the roster is like basically fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world. And maybe fighting Bobby Portis will slap Jabari Parker into shape by whacking him in the gob a bunch of times playing shitty D. I love it. But the tough thing for Jabari, I mean, he's got no knees. Two times ACL surgery is on one knee. Hurt the other one as well. It's a tough one. But, I mean, Chicago, it's not really a giant risk for them, is it? Like, if he pops, you've got him at another $20 million in year two because that's a team option. And if he keeps on crushing throughout year one and two, you've got his bird rights, he's yours, away you go. He's only 23. And I mean, if he doesn't, then this is a one-year look-see to check if a number two pick can still fucking kick ass and play. I mean, they had the space, they're rolling the dice. I kind of like this. I mean, if he shows you a little bit of something on defense and Fred Hoiberg, the coach of Chicago, can figure out how to use him next to Markkanen, Levine, Wendell, and Portis and actually get some of them to actually pass the ball, which doesn't seem really likely. It seems very much like a team going, your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn, my turn, your turn, your turn, your turn, my turn, my turn. It's a lot of that. And if there's not that much passing, there's not much motion, it could be an absolute shit show. But at the same time, I kind of feel like Chicago is going to be slightly more fun than the last 2 years of their shit show. So, yeah, you'll take it. So who is left out there in the world of restricted free agency? It's Marcus Smart, kid. And it was reported today by Woj saying that his agent and Boston are in serious talks for 4 years, $46 million, or between $46 and $50 million a year, for the contract. So that'd equal out to, what, $11.5 to $12.5 million per season, which for Marcus Smart seems good. I was just talking to my Boston Celtics backing buddy, and he was like, I mean, seems with it, they're not bidding against anybody, but my point was at least it's not $14 million a year. I mean, it's sure, like $11.5 to $12 to $12.5 million per year of Marcus Smart, that seems fine. It's not 14, it's not more than that, you're good. The weirdest part is that, who are they bidding against though? Are they really afraid that Sacramento is going to swan in and be like, actually guys, can we get Marcus Smart? We're going to give him this money. And everyone's like, ah, god damn it, stupid Sacramento. Always fucking shit up, it's what they do. But yeah, man, teams bidding against themselves when it comes to restricted free agents, it's always weird. Not sure how that goes, but hey man, Marcus Smart, if he goes back to Boston, they are definitely going to be the favorites in the Eastern Conference this season, even with Kawhi in Toronto, right? Shit, yeah. So for other news, the Sixers tried to sign Houston GM Daryl Morey away from Houston. This is amazing. We'll talk about that in a little bit more. And yeah, nah. Ned Bjelica, he bailed on the Sixers to go back to Europe as well. It had been talked about how he'd agreed to a one-year contract. And instead he went, you know what? Fuck it. I don't want to play in Philly. I'm going back to Europe. Bye. And he just bounced. Which is pretty amazing. I love this. And of course, the other news today is that we still have Carmelo Anthony in OKC for the moment. And as reported, they are trying their hardest to trade the guy, which would save them dollars rather than just buying him outright completely. The latest that broke today is that Atlanta and OKC are talking a swap for German Rondo. I am Dennis Schröder. And Mike Muscala for Melo. And then Atlanta would buy him out, assuming they'd also get some sort of other asset in return for Melo, taking on that Melo money and buying him out. So then still after that, it still looks more and more likely that he's going to end up in Houston after a buyout from whatever team he ends up getting traded to. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. That might end up breaking later even today. But what can you do? I mean, it's Melo. How much of an impact do you really think he's going to have? The answer is between little and none, because he's a shit show. Olympic Mallow doesn't exist anymore. He's too old, he's too fat, he's too slow, and he's too much of a fucking head case to really want to get in there and play fucking team ball. That's how he goes, man. So stop deluding yourself that Carmelo Anthony is going to be a useful NBA player. The actual weird parallels between him and Allen Iverson are stunning. AI gets traded to Denver to play with Mallow, and they're like, hey man, this is going to be kind of cool. And it wasn't cool. A couple of years later, off she goes. See ya. AI goes off to Detroit. Whereas Mallow spent all those years in Denver by himself. He gets traded to another team where he's by himself and never won anything. At least AI got to a fucking finals, man. It's weird though. All right, let's get to the Yeah Nahs right after, let's say these words.
Oh, kia ora, Brews. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Street, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we are back. It's time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And let's get stuck in with this Kawhi and DeMar DeRozan trade. Number one is, will DeMar DeRozan ever get to hang out with Drake in San Antonio? Nah, no fucking chance, mate. Drake loves the six. He don't love you, DeMar. I mean, you might have been like friends, but I mean, just look at fucking Drake's kid, man. Doesn't give a shit about that guy. You think he's going to give a fuck about you in San Antonio? It's like, hey, Drake, do you want to come and walk with me along the Riverwalk, bro? We'll go check out like the Alamo again, mate. And it's like, no, I'm busy, dog. I'm like hanging out with like Kawhi Leonard and shit. DeMar's just sitting there all by himself, hanging out with fucking boring ass on Marcus Aldridge going, aw, I'm bored and angry. Oh, I love it. Man, DeMar, he just lost his best mate. He gets traded away from Kyle Lowry and the most famous dude he will probably ever get to hang out with. It's a tough one for DeMar. Number two, does this about face on the whole, DeMar, we ain't going to trade you, hurt Toronto standing with players? Yeah, nah, yes, 100%. When it's someone who's weirdly is in with other players like DeMar DeRozan, like other players seem to like the guy a lot, which is kind of weird. This is going to leave a rough taste in the old mouth when people deal with Toronto from here on in. We've already seen Lou Williams talk shit about it, Marcus Morris, a bunch of other dudes popping off on Twitter going, hey man, ain't no loyalty in this game. It's like, no shit. It's kind of like the taste that'll live in your mouth is like when you have one of those American sour beers and shit that they've got over here. And you're like, fucking beer dorks, this isn't fun drinking this. Now my mouth feels weird. Sours, they're fucking strange, man. All right, back on to the Toronto Raptors. Do they actually have a chance at re-signing Kawhi Leonard and keeping him there after this 1 year? Well, yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, they can pay him more than anybody else. It's a $50 million goddamn gap, man. But also, don't underestimate Drake and his ability to swing Kawhi on the six. Like, he'll be name-dropping him and shit in bars and, like, it'll be in a second that Drake will be all over this. He'll be like, let me hang out with you, Kawhi. It's going to be awesome. Let me show you my Toronto. I mean, yeah, it gets super fucking cold in winter, but you know what? It's still a great place to live. And I don't think you can actually underestimate that. And I mean, everyone who goes to Toronto and actually plays there seems to love it. The problem is they do have a new coach, so there's no like sort of built-in culture with anything. So look, they've got a chance. I don't know how likely it is. Weird. Weird. Anyway, so there you go. Kawhi, do you reckon he'll be back? Could they keep him? Well, it's an easier way to become an all-star. You don't have to like fucking sit there and battle through the West each year as well. Kawhi might end up playing and then might end up like going, oh shit, dude, we're in the finals. What's up with that? It's pretty neat. Oh man, don't forget, that is finals MVP, Kawhi Leonard. Moving on, would prime LeVar Ball actually have beaten LeBron James, as he said at the start of this episode? I mean, he was 270, could bench 500. Yeah, nah, yeah, I mean, obviously. LeVar Ball said it, and in this political climate, if he said it, then it must be true. Just how it goes. finally, should the Sixers just hire fucking Sam Hinkie back? Yeah, nah, yes! You just tried to hire his old boss. Just bring Sam back, you fucking idiots. You know what? The fans will love it. The players, especially Joel Embiid, will love it. I'm not sure what you're afraid of at this point, right? This way, you also get past the whole, if you hire somebody outside, somebody new, you get past that whole, somebody else built this team. I want to make, like, place my own stamp on it. Hinkie built this, man. Like, let him ride into the glorious sun. You just cost yourself a fucking chance at Kawhi Leonard because you're too proud to fucking, like, bring back Sam Hinkie. You idiots. Sixers, sort your shit out. Get Hinkie back in there. Trust the process. It's gonna be awesome. All right, speaking of awesome, it's time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Look at me.
It's the unpopular opinion of the day. I really, 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 really like this trade for Toronto. Even if it doesn't work out. I'm just on board with them having a fucking swing. Like, we just saw it work for OKC and, like, trading away, trading for Paul George. And you go, oh, man, but Victor Oladipo is amazing now. It's like, yeah, but we convinced Paul George, who's also a very good player, to stay. And now, like, Toronto, like, fuck it, man. We got Drake on our side. We might be in Canada, but let's see how this goes. Hey, man, we got great healthcare. Like, you fucked up Hammy over there? Nah, we'll give it a shot with all these free meds. That'd be sick. But even if it doesn't work out, as mentioned, like, Toronto, keep their pick. 1 through 20. So if he doesn't show up and they suck, he keeps a pick. They keep the pick. That's fine. They didn't give up any of their other dudes, apart from Jakob Poeltl. I mean, sure. Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl. Awesome. Good job. I think this is great for Toronto. Good shit. On ya. All right. I don't know if that's unpopular, though, is it? Like, do other people think that San Antonio won this fucking trade because they get DeMar DeRozan back? Get the fuck out of here. All right. Let's get into Outback Takehouse. Come down to Outback today. It's Wednesday. That means double Foster's and Alice Springs chicken with a free Bloomin' Onion only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is... Kawhi Leonard will love Toronto because he's the kind of guy who digs good food and being super fucking cold. And if he's healthy, the Raptors, that's right, the Toronto Raptors, will finally make the NBA Finals with him if he plays. Only at Outback.
There you go. That's a hell of a fucking flame grilled take from Outback Takeout today. Not bloody bad, mate. Not bloody bad. All right, we'll be back with the Summer League Overreactions wrap up. And the Australian Player Watch Summer League Edition right after this.
Hi there, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. It's time for the Summer League Overreactions, where we talk about the Summer League and wrap it all up. It just finished up last night, in fact. And the Portland Trailblazers, in a repeat of last year's Summer League final, they lost last year, they avenged that loss. They beat the Lakers, 91-73, beat them like a Cherokee drum. And the 91-73, they go 7-0 in Summer League. So what do you reckon off the top? Overreactions, 7-0 in Summer League. Are Portland now the NBA title favorites? Nah, get the fuck out of here. The best part was they were only playing like second year dudes. So it's like sophomores playing freshmen, basically. Good on you, Portland. But it was good. Like Zach Collins got out there and was out there crushing. Caleb Swanigan, a bunch of their other guys. On you, Portland. That was some good stuff. But the Summer League first team was announced as well. We've got Josh Hart, who was also the Summer League MVP, out there smashing it. Kevin Knox from the Knicks. Colin Sexton for the Cavs. Christian Wood from Milwaukee. Dude averaged 20.4 points, 10.8 rebounds, and 2.8 blocks, as well as Wendell Carter. So that was pretty good. So moving on to the overreactions, Josh Hart, is he now the best player in the NBA? After 37 points, 9 rebounds in the semi versus Cleveland? Nah, come on, mate. He only had 12 points in the final. Got ejected in the fourth quarter for arguing with a ref. Fucking Josh Hart. Still, it was good to see him get a bit of run. And he's kind of the dude that you can kind of see working really well next to LeBron, isn't he? Between him and Lonzo, I don't know why they signed Rondo. It's so weird. Anyway, moving on. Is Colin Sexton now my favorite player after his showing in Summer League? Yeah, you fucking better believe it. I love him. He's so good, especially when he just like hulked out playing defense on the against the Lakers. That was awesome. I fucking love him. He's got great hair. Can actually stroke it as well. I got a lot of time for Colin Sexton. And then the final two. Does Summer League mean something now? Come on. As mentioned with like Portland, if you're playing a bunch of second year dudes just to get some run in them, they're still beating the shit out of a bunch of rookies. which is pretty weird. And dudes have never played in the NBA, so it's a tough one. And then finally, an Australian who played in Summer League should be in the NBA. Yeah, nah. Yeah, I feel like, look, Deng Adel might get a bit of a shot, and Jonah Bolden as well. They're still trying to figure out if the Jonah Bolden blip from him not being very good is, a sort of indicator of future performance, or if, you know, his actual sort of size and athleticism, once he gets into a Sixers training camp, will actually be worth it. It's going to be interesting to see. So let's quickly wrap up the Australian Summer League, Australian Player Watch. Jonah Bolden, as mentioned, and with the Sixers out there doing pretty bloody well. But, you know, had a couple of really rough games. So for four games, he only averaged 7 points, 6.5 rebounds, 1.3 steals and a block. Mitch Creek, he played five games for Dallas. 6.8 points, 5.2 rebounds in 18 minutes a game. Didn't get offered a two-way or anything yet from Dallas, but I mean, people are sniffing around. On your creaky. Jock Landau with the Hawks played six games, averaged 16.7 minutes, only scored 3.8 points, had 4.8 boards, and only shot 33%. See you in Europe, Jock. As mentioned though, Deng Adel, Houston, played four games, 21 minutes per game, 8.3 points, 1.8 rebounds, 1.3 assists, and shot 58%. He went off. It was good. Xavier Cooks with the Warriors, three games, only averaged 10 minutes a game, 4.7 points, 1.7 rebounds, still shot 63%, did Xavier. Looked pretty good. Emmett Nah with the Suns, two DMPs to start with, and two games after that, 5 minutes in each, 0 points, one rebound, one assist he averaged. Dwight Breith with the Mavs, three games, 7.5 minutes a game, 2.3 points, 3.3 rebounds. Mango Matthew-Yang with the Hornets. He played four games, only averaged 2.5 points, 3.3 boards in 15 minutes, which was rough. Rough as guts for Mango. That's a tough one. And then, of course, Casper Ware played with the title-winning Portland Trailblazers, four games. That's right, our all-NBL first-team guard. Had 12 minutes in the semi versus Memphis. He had 4 points, one rebound, one assist, two steals, and averaged for Summer League 11.5 minutes a game. 3 points, 1.5 rebounds. So that was pretty bloody nice. And how about the actual Australian Player Watch? What are our boys up to this offseason? Well, congratulations, Aaron Bangers Baines. He just had a kid. He's got a new baby girl born 2 days ago. Unbelievable. Congrats on the sex, Aaron Baines. On your bangers. Getting some banging in. Ben Simo, Big Simo, got his camp going up in Oz. You can check that out on his Insta. He also found out his rating for NBA 2K19, and he wasn't very impressed. It was old Big Simo, not bloody bad. Dele was in Chatty in Melbs doing photos and coaching stuff with Spalding, and then went fishing and caught a fucking hammerhead shark, tossing it around like it wasn't a thing. On your Dele. Jingles, he's out there wishing the missus a happy birthday on Insta, hanging out with Bogut when they're not talking shit on Twitter as well, which is good. Thon, wishing the best to Jabari Parker, his mate from Milwaukee, who went and signed with Chicago. Ah, man. Looks like it hurt Thunder the fucking heart. A lot of tweets about Jabari. Dante Exum was at Summer League, and then he's now at training at PJF Performance, and also probably playing a shit ton of Xbox. And finally, Patty Mills is out there supporting his missus at Miami Swim Week with Straight Swim, which is swimwear inspired by the Torres Strait, which is awesome. So on you, Patty. And let's get to it then. The Patty Mills, Joe Ingles, Game Day Baller, Game Day Inspiration Board. Actually, what we're going to say, it's not going to be that inspiring. It's going to be from DeMar DeRozan there. Posted on his Instagram just on Wednesday morning, which was today, our time. DeMar wrote, "Be told one thing and the outcome another. Can't trust him. Ain't no loyalty in this game. Sell you out quick for a little bit of nothing. Soon you'll understand. Don't disturb." Oh, DeMar, throwing shade for a little bit of nothing. He knows that Kawhi doesn't want to fucking sign there back in Toronto. That's amazing. And the sooner you understand, that's right. Kawhi ain't going to go. And Kawhi aren't going to play. Oh, that's amazing. All right, did we get everything? We got Jabari. We got the trades. We got Kawhi. Oh, should LeBron. LeBron was at Summer League. He rocked up wearing the Lakers shorts. That was fucking weird. Going to have to get used to that. Oh, Jesus. And should LeBron actually play in the Olympics 2020? He isn't going to Team USA minicamp, so might not be able to play, bro. Who knows? What do you reckon? Should he? Yeah, nah. Nah. LeBron, stay home, because we might win gold anyway. Go Aussies. All right, you know what? that is it for this week. We are done. Oh, I love this. This whole weekly thing is pretty good. We had the perfect amount of content, I think, happen. The Kawhi trade obviously definitely helped. So we'll be back next Wednesday with our 150th episode with a very special guest, which is going to be amazing. There'll also be all the usual ridiculousness, and we'll wrap up anything else that pops off in that time. What we're going to try to do is have like a bunch more interviews throughout the off season, and then sort of swing in with a little bit of news here and there. So make sure, though, in the meantime, you're following us on Twitter and NBA Australia, on Facebook as well, because we have, and NBAAustralia.com, because we have the NBA Australia Never Forget off-season edition, where we're just going through a bunch of amazing old NBA players and, you know, just going over them, talking about them a little bit. That's all across our social media and the website, so go check that out. And make sure you subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes, Google Podcasts, all that good stuff. Check us nice rating and review while you're at it. That really, really helps. And tell a mate, just go, oi, if you're bored during the NBA off-season, listen to NBA Australia. Follow us. We're doing shit all the time. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out House Hats, their new band. They're the best band in Australia. Their new single, I've Been Broken, which was played in the middle of this episode, is a pearler. So go check them out. Go hit them up on Triple J and go, oi, dickheads, play House Hats. I've Been Broken. It's amazing. Extra special thanks to the legends of Green, 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 Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes all the way throughout the episode. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. They're amazing. NBA Australia, support Australian bands. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes on Twitter. And we'll catch us next week, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, light a horse on! All right, welcome to this week's show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Because remember, with all this blue-haired, leather jacket wearing, latte-drinking, snowflake, SJW feminists out there distorting the world with the virtue signaling and being all sensitive to everything and no sick mags on their fucking cars, mate. Someone needs to tell it like it is, mate. Like real truths and everything. So that's what I'm doing. I'll speak the truth. And if you don't like my opinions on Twitter, you can just go get stuffed, eh? So now I'm back in Australia and signed with the NBL. I've got plenty of time to talk to you idiots on Twitter about footy, East West Link, Tracy Holmes, and a bunch of other shit. So let's get stuck in, shall we? Okay, so today's show, we're going to start with, oh mate, just because Nick Nat like, got involved in a bit of a scuffle at the airport, I better tweet this out on. What do you reckon? Nick Nat just did his knee in his out for the year. Let him address media at a better time a few days down the track. Be human beings, smack my head. Oh my God. Oh my God. Unbelievable, mate. And this guy, so Ace Miller says, I agree, Andrew. Pushing the cameraman was unnecessary and wrong. However, the fact that the media needed this shot and couldn't let Nick Nat address the media on his own terms is what makes me disappointed and sad. Just doing our jobs is a cop-out excuse. Oh, that's a really good reply, Ace Miller. I have received numerous "it's what the public wants to see" tweets from media. From what I have gathered, most people can live without footage of a bloke on crutches when they report that story. I could be wrong, though. Oh, nice one, Bogey. That's pretty good. Oh, nice one. Oh, Timmy Cahill. So he tweeted out, today's the day I'm officially hanging up my boots on my international career at the Socceroos. No words can describe what it's meant to represent my country. Massive thank you to everyone for the good stuff. Oh, that's amazing. Great Socceroos career, Tim Cahill. Flex emoji, clapping emoji. What an absolute inspiration. I love him. I love him so much. And speaking about soccer, did you see Croatia made the final? That was fucking sick, mate. The best part was, Croatia welcome home their team, and there's a bunch of photos. It's like insane. It's like Croatia welcome their team home. These pictures have no breathing space. It's like a kajillion people, mate. Wow, that is amazing. And no riots. Fucking dickheads. Because look at this one. An Aussie Utah Jazz fan, he says, only 4 million people in the country, they must all be there. That's right, mate. 500,000 reported. Absolute madness. And no one let off a flare. Nice one, mate. That's pretty funny, Bogey. Just imagine that. Oh, mate. And now I'm in Sydney and I'm like looking for houses. It's such a drag, mate. Dealing with real estate agents and sellers alike in Sydney has sure been different. Can tell the market has been at a high, judging by the interactions. emoji. Nice one. Oh, this is DK Cameron McKay. He says, player, you lived in San Francisco. It's the same. No, I didn't, dickhead. Didn't live in San Francisco. Thumbs up. Nice one. Oh, back to the thing with the crutches and Nick Nat. This guy says, haha, remember plugger on crutches going nuts at reporters in the early 90s? Oh, mate. He was the goat. Goat right there. Fucking bang. That's a good tweet there, Bogey. Oh, and then my friend Tracy Holmes, she says, after all this, where she's like calling all of the boomers racist and shit, and then didn't apologize on the ABC, mate. She responded to me, here's an idea, Andrew Bogut. Why don't you contact me for a one-on-one? No. Well, I'm assuming she means, you know, like adults do. Happy to oblige. Let me know when you can find a journalist to conduct the interview. Nice one. Good one, Bogey. That's amazing. On this dickhead, Red Roberts, he says, what a shitty comment. That's like suggesting you're no longer a basketballer because you miss one shot. Surely it's time to move on. I would admit I missed the shot, Reg, old boy. That's the glaring difference, one would think. Nice one, Bogey. That's pretty good. Oh, and then this dickhead, Sarah's Hand, says, that's the best childish reply I've heard an adult use in a while. I know you are, but what I am kind of stuff. If you want to call her out, do the interview. Don't be a scaredy cat about it. At Tracy Lee Holmes is a highly respected journalist. Sarah's Head, mate, you have a profile called Fife's Hair. Ease up on throwing childish around. Monkey face crying emoji. Nice one. On this dickhead at AFL Fantasy, he just says, you're an old-fashioned wanker. Being called worse. Thanks, me dickhead. Oh, nice one. Oh, mate. Oh, and how good is this one? Oh, this guy says 260, 280 snowboarding. At Proud Little Goat says, you're a massive flog. Cool input, bro. Thumbs up emoji. Nice one. Oh, and how good is this guy? Mark Roberts, he says, I like having you back in Australia, Bogues. Oh, mate. So do I. Hands on face emoji, Australia emoji. Oh, that's pretty good. Now my final one for this week. Before I go talk to Tracy Holmes a bunch, it's pretty funny. Look, I just got to say, to the dum-dums out there tweeting me re-Cambridge, just because Cambridge and I disagree and have had some fun back and forths, doesn't mean I am cheering for her to do poorly. She made history and hope she continues to break records and fly the flag for Australians abroad. Flex emoji, hashtag on your Cambo. Nice one. Just because you disagree doesn't mean you have to hate each other. All right, that is it for this week. Okay, so you can catch me next week on NBA Australia. Until then, this has been Andrew Bogut, slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.